Well, hello everybody. It is wonderful to be with you today. My name is Shane Dean from Baptist Missions, as some of you may already know, and what a year that we have had. The good thing about the way we're doing this right now is that if you don't like the preacher or the speaker, you can turn him off. Or if you're watching on YouTube, you can double time and I'll be done a lot quicker than my 10 minutes of allotted time. But yeah, look, I mean, a lot of people are saying about 2020, you know, 2020 has been the waste of a year, or 2020 has been the write-off year, or we should forget about 2020. And even Christians have been saying that. But what I want to encourage us with tonight is, what if the Lord is doing something incredible in our time? What if the Lord has a wonderful plan for all of this that He is working out for the purposes of our good and His glory? And that, of course, is what we do believe. The Lord has used this medium of technology to, I believe, spread His word further than it has ever gone before. And so we praise His name for that, don't we? We remember in Romans 10 when it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in Him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." And this has been a time where we can preach the gospel in an amazing way. And so we praise the Lord for all that He has done in these days. And especially for me, as working with Baptist Missions in Passage West, we do believe that the Lord has still been at work despite all that has been going on. So let me give you just a quick update of the family and the ministry. Well, the family is still the same family I have, praise God. We are, as I always say to you all, the international family. Luana is doing well. She is enjoying some time to be able to serve more in the ministry as the children are off in school in the mornings. And so she does a lot of work with our children's work, kids club and online stuff. And then a lot of work at home, and then a lot of work with the children's homework. So please do pray for her and uplift her in your prayers. And then our children, we have Talitha. She is 8, really enjoying school, loving memorizing the Bible in our kids club, and seems to be getting on well. Simeon, he is 7 right now, loving soccer and school as well. He's doing much better with his homework and loving that. And then we have little Dahlia. Well, she's not so little anymore. She's now started her first year in primary school. She's 4 years old and she bounces into school every morning and absolutely loves it. So we're thankful that the schools are back open and now, and that our children can go there, and it's really good for them and it is really good for us as well. And so thank you for your prayers for our family really needs your prayers at this time, because it is difficult, it is tiring, it is hard, this form of ministry and this type of ministry online, and tiring trying to figure all of this out. So we would encourage you to just keep us in prayer at this time. Well, how is the ministry going? Let me explain it to you this way. There was a date that we were waiting for, and the date was March the 8th, 2020. We have been waiting for that day for years, since the ministry in Passage West started out, and we started outreach years ago, maybe 12 years ago, outreach to the teenage kids on the green who are drinking and smoking. And so we went out on Friday nights to share the gospel with them. But ever since that time, we had this prayer that God would bring about a gospel witness in the town of Passage West. And so we had been waiting for March March the 8th, 2020, even since then, and even since the time that Luana and I came back in December 2013, and since the time that Douglas Baptist Church decided to plant into the area of Passage West in January 2014, we were waiting for this day since we had been hired by Baptist Missions in May 2014. We had been waiting for this day when we had started our Bible study on Friday nights in January 2016. We had been waiting for this day in January 2019 when we started our monthly Sunday evening services. March the 8th, 2020 was the day we were waiting for because it was the day we had our first Sunday morning service in Passage West. And we praise God for that service. We praise God for the two new families that came in that day. We praise God for the songs that we were able to sing in that town on that day. But then, the following week, as you know, there was lockdown. And so we had a choice to make. Will we just kind of give up and go back with the Douglas Baptist Church, or will we continue on online with the group that we have? And with God's lead and to God's glory, we continued on online. And as we continued online, those who are with us on Sunday morning stayed with us online. And not only did that happen, but we also had some people join us online. Some people from the town came in and joined us online, watching in. And some have joined us online and continue with us and have gathered with us when we have got back together. And so we praise the Lord for new faces that we've been able to see even in this time. Has it been discouraging? Yes. Has it been hard? Yes. Have we lost some people? Yes. But the Lord has been faithful. And we can sing with that great hymn, "Great is thy faithfulness," because the Lord has been faithful to us throughout all of this. And even now, this week, as I'm speaking to you, we are back into lockdown. And so it's hard for me, and it's hard for us, and it's discouraging because we got a taste of what it was like to meet again on Friday nights. We got a taste of what it was like to meet again on Sunday mornings. And now we're back to Zoom and Facebook Live and YouTube Live and all of that. And so we would just ask for your prayers. Keep us in prayer. Pray that the Lord would continue to encourage us as the word goes forward. Pray that the Lord would give us more opportunities for the gospel as we seek to spread this word through online. And pray that the Lord would keep us in endurance for this ministry. And one of the ways I think you can stay really connected with us and well connected with us is if you have one of those social media platforms. You can look us up, Passage West Baptist, on Facebook, on Instagram, and on YouTube. And that is one of the best ways to follow kind of what we're doing, to see photographs of people gathering together and devotions we put up and all those things. What I would say, though, is this. Christians sometimes on social media get a little bit weird and say some kind of silly things in comments and those types of things. All I would have you remember is that there is other non-believers following us right now. And just remember that as you're sharing. Don't say things like, "Oh, we're praying for the heathen in Passage West." Whereas I hope you are. But just realize that there's others in, others watching in, and we would encourage you to encourage us in those times. As you see verses being put up, pray for those verses as a reality in our lives. As you see Sunday services, pray that the Lord would move by His Holy Spirit in those services. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for all of your support for Baptist Missions, for the mission that is going forward. We would encourage you to keep with us. Keep with us in prayer. Keep with us in encouragement. Keep with us in your financial support, as I know you are doing. Without you, I would not be able to do what I am doing. And so I praise God for each and every one of you. God bless you from Passage West, from the Dean family. We hope you have a wonderful service or meeting or whatever is happening right now. God bless you.
In the 1980s, a man in his late 30s accepted his mother's invitation to attend the Sunday night gospel meeting. He brought his wife and two children to the meeting and was spoken to so much that he came back the following week. The closing hymn that night contained the chorus, "Mine, mine, mine, I know thou art mine. Saviour, dear Saviour, I know thou art mine." And as his son looked up at him, he noticed that the book was shaking and the tears were rolling down his father's cheeks. Clearly, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the man remained behind after the meeting to speak with the pastor. That night, after most people had left, he prayed with the pastor and trusted Christ for salvation. A few months later, he was baptized. In fact, he was the last person to be baptized in the Windsor Avenue Church. The preacher that night that he was saved was Pastor Judd. The mother who invited her son was my granny, Ellie Cousins. The son was my father, and I was the boy who watched my dad sing that hymn. Many of you will also know my sister, Susan Steele, and her family. So as you can see, we have close connections to this church, and I want to say thank you for the opportunity just to share a few moments with you tonight. When I was 13 years old, when we started to attend Lurgan Baptist Church, just as the steelwork had gone up for what we referred to as the new building, the Lord had saved me as a 7-year-old through a holiday Bible club in Dollingstown, and I was an active volunteer with CEF right up until I was 19 years old, when I was sent out from Lurgan Baptist Church as a CEF missionary to the Europe headquarters back in Switzerland. 4 years there, and then 3 years in Bible school in Germany, where I met my wife Claudia. We then came back to Northern Ireland and spent 7 years there, where both of our boys were born. I pastored in Craigavon Baptist and later was associate pastor in Portadown Baptist. From there, we moved to Germany, where I was another 9 years as a missionary with CEF Europe. We're still based in Germany, but the past 5 years, I have been working with Acts 29. Acts 29 is a worldwide network that helps churches to plant new churches so that the light of the gospel will shine in the dark corners of the world. And as I look back on the journey that has brought me to this point, I give thanks for a grandmother who prayed for her son's salvation. I give thanks for a pastor who preached the gospel faithfully. I give thanks for a holiday Bible club teacher who prepared an evangelistic lesson and faithfully taught the gospel on that evening when I repented by faith. But what brought about salvation on those nights? Was it the cleverness of their words? Had an artificial atmosphere been created? Was it a particular method that was used? No, because whenever a person responds to the call of God and repents of their sins, God in his power and grace breaks through and saves the sinner. Romans 1:15 tells us, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." I want you to note here that the good news, the gospel of Christ, is God's power that brings about salvation in all who believe. And in our secular, godless world today, it's so easy to lose confidence in the fact, no matter how irrelevant our message may sound to someone, no matter how resistant someone may be to the gospel, our hope is not placed in our ability, but alone in the hand of a sovereign God who is powerful to save. So as we think on this missionary weekend about ways in which we can bring the gospel to the nations, why do you invite a speaker who represents a ministry that doesn't send out missionaries? Okay, he's from here and he lives overseas, but the main work that his organization does is to help existing churches to plant new churches. Well, let's look for a moment at those verses that we call the Great Commission, or in German, we call it the Missionsbefehl, or the mission command. And I think we will see here that there is a biblical mandate to plant churches. In Matthew 28 verse 18 we read, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." So what has this verse got to do with church planting? Well, you will know that the emphasis in the Greek is on teaching or on making disciples. And that means when we go and preach the gospel, the emphasis is not on signing a card or praying a prayer. The focus is not on counting decisions. It's on making disciples. Disciples are followers of Jesus Christ who are not only saved, but seeking every day to become more like their master. You'll also notice that these disciples are to be baptized. In Acts and elsewhere, it's clear that baptism means incorporation into a worshipping community with accountability and boundaries. These people who trusted Christ for salvation immediately became part of the local church. You see, much traditional evangelism aims to get a decision for Christ. But experience shows that many of these decisions disappear, and they often do not result in changed lives. Why is that? Often it's because these people have not been evangelized in the context of an ongoing worshipping and shepherding community. We believe the local church is God's primary missionary strategy for reaching the nations. Or put it another way, we believe that planting new churches is the most effective and the most biblical form of evangelism. The greatest missionary in history, the Apostle Paul, he had a very simple twofold strategy. Firstly, he went into the largest city of a region and he preached the gospel there. And secondly, he planted churches in each of those cities, returning later to appoint elders and to address matters that would lead to them becoming healthier local churches. In Acts 29, we believe that all believers have a part to play in God's mission strategy to bring gospel to the nations through the preaching of the gospel and the planting of churches that are gospel-centered. Acts 29 is a network of local churches with individuals who are being discipled and who themselves are on mission. We believe that mission should not be restricted to missionaries, nor to the church evangelism team. We believe that we should all be living on mission where God has placed us. In Acts 29, we have 700 churches worldwide, worshipping in 32 languages in 44 countries. And all of these churches are actively supporting the planting of other churches. Let me tell you about someone called Vlad, who grew up in Romania in an Eastern Orthodox family. He was a city kid, and so from a young age, he was smoking and taking drugs. At 19 years of age, he declared himself to be an atheist. When he was 21, he moved to England looking for work. In Liverpool, he started to smoke weed and got addicted. But he got offered a job clearing out a derelict old people's home. He lived in the home and he would go through the rooms to clear out the personal property. When he found a Bible and he started to read in that Bible from the beginning and return to it each night, he found a church, an X29 church in Liverpool. And after a few years, he moved back to Romania, joined the church planting training program, got lots of experience. And in 2019, he planted a new church that is thriving today. And the church in Liverpool continues to support that church in Romania. My role in X29 is a support role. As Director of Global Operations, I work closely with our six global networks outside of the US. That's Latin America, Canada, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and Southern Africa. And another region that we call emerging regions, which includes many parts of Africa and the Middle East. Many of you will know Philip Muir, who's an associate with Baptist Missions, and I report primarily to him, but I also work closely with our staff in the US. And when I'm not working on global tasks, I concentrate on the continent of Europe, supporting our 6 regional directors, supporting our 70 churches in Europe, our 22 planting projects, and 50 church planter applicants who are doing our assessment program. I also spend a lot of time on Zoom coaching planters and pastors, caring for them, encouraging them, helping them to navigate difficulties they have in their churches. The challenges of planting during a pandemic are well known, but we have been able to adapt. Many church planting projects, of course, have been put on hold or set back significantly in the past year. However, we have seen 8 churches be established. That means that we have seen churches with 20 adult members be established in the Republic of Ireland and Galway, in Paris and France and Germany, in 3 Italian regions of Venice, Florence and Lombardy, in Spain, and in another one over in Liverpool. In 2020, our big conference was cancelled and we missed out on good fellowship, and many pastors have missed that and they're struggling. Many of them are struggling at this time with isolation. We have monthly webinars for pastors and planting teams using Zoom, something that we used a lot before the pandemic, but now we're on it several hours per day like many other people. There are challenges in Europe that were there before the pandemic struck. The challenge of multiple languages, of multiple religious and political contexts, of extremely small percentages of evangelical Christians across Europe and many countries less than 1%, of small churches with few resources. Yet even the pandemic does not change our confidence in Christ, who said, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." In the past year, we have seen people come to faith and be baptized. We praise God that disciples are being made across our continent through our network of local churches. But I also hear many objections to church planting. People say, "Don't we already have enough churches?" Or, "Don't new churches mostly start because of church splits? Aren't new churches just going to be stealing sheep from other churches that are already struggling? There are so many vacant churches. Wouldn't it be better to help them find a pastor rather than making the problem worse?" All this talk these days about church planting, sure, most new churches don't last very long. But I want to say that bad experience of church planting should not cause us to reject something that is fundamentally good and something that is biblical. There are many reasons why we should plant. Let me give you a few. We plant churches because the gospel compels us to. The Great Commission compels us to make disciples, to plant churches, to proclaim the good news. The New Testament is full of examples that compel us. Everywhere the apostles went, they preached the gospel, they planted churches. The spiritual need in our world compels us. Even though a town may already have many churches, it doesn't mean that every person in that town has heard the gospel. The poor health of many established churches who have lost their evangelistic edge, compels us also to plant. Every church today was once a church plant, and that's something that we dare not forget. We also want to plant a church here in the town where we live here in the southwest of Germany. We're 10 minutes from the corner where Germany, France and Switzerland meet. And if we count the 5 villages in our district, we have a population of 10,000 people who need to hear the gospel. And the Lord has placed a burden in our hearts to start a church in our own hometown, in our own home. We're now a group of 9 people who are behind this plant. We're starting to meet regularly via Zoom. And once the COVID restrictions are eased, we want to meet in our home. We plan to start monthly meetings in a local public building that we would like to rent just for the few hours that we will meet once that's possible. Pray, please, for more core team members, for mature believers who share our vision and want to join us. Pray for our contacts with unbelievers, that God will continue to work in their hearts and bring about salvation. But I want to finish off with this. Perhaps you're watching this service tonight and you're not sure if you're really a Christian. 1 Corinthians 15 verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Greg Gilbert, in his helpful little book, What is the Gospel?, summarizes the good news around four questions. Those four questions are, number one, who made us, and to whom are we accountable? Number two, what is our problem? Number three, what is God's solution to our problem? And number four, how can I be included in his solution? Christians through the centuries since Christ have answered those questions with the same truth from the Bible. Number one, we are accountable to God. In Genesis 1 verse 1 it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We are accountable to our Creator. Number two, our problem is our sin against him. Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is the rejection of God himself and his authority over those to whom he gives life. Romans also tells us that the wages of sin is death. Number three, God's solution is salvation through Jesus Christ. When Jesus began his public ministry, he told the people, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus died on the cross, the awful weight of all our sins fell on his shoulders. And there Jesus died in our place. Through his resurrection, he authenticated what he said and all that he claimed to be true. Number four, we come to be included in that salvation through faith and repentance. You see, as you listen to me this evening, let me ask you, what are you going to do with the gospel? What are you going to do with the knowledge that Jesus died in our place so that we can be saved from God's righteous wrath against our sins? You too need to respond with repentance and faith. But the gospel that transforms, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's the message of all messages that the unsaved needs to hear, they need to trust and to be radically changed in order to enter the kingdom of God. It's not just a ticket to heaven or something that's only relevant to the unbeliever. Rather, it is what every believer needs every day in order to walk in the good works that God has prepared for us. It is that which reminds us every day of what we once were and continues to change us every day into his likeness. The gospel of Jesus Christ reminds me every day that my sin is greater than I can fathom. But it reminds me also that his mercy towards my sinfulness is greater still. We must continue to spread the gospel through the planting of local churches who are on mission in their local communities and faithfully preaching the truth of the gospel of grace and forgiveness to the glory of God. Amen. May the Lord bless you all.